Thank you for coming to my talk. This is Dongling Deng from Tsinghua University. First, I would like to thank the organizers for giving me this opportunity to present some of my recent work. It is my great pleasure to attend this wonderful conference to meet many old friends and to make some new friends. Basically, today I will talking about, as my title indicates, that machine learning meets quantum physics. So the take-home message is that the interaction between machine learning and quantum physics will benefit both fields. So on the one hand, we can use quantum computer, quantum devices to enhance the machine learning tasks. On the other hand, we can use machine learning as a tool to solve some very challenging quantum many-body problems. So that's the take-home message for my talk. So basically, this is a so-called a quantum artificial intelligence. What is artificial intelligence? I will just in case, I will introduce a little bit. So I think this definition of artificial intelligence is still controversial to some extent. So as far as I am concerned, the intelligence means just something, anything that demonstrate, any intelligence demonstrated by machines is artificial intelligence. So it is a very broad concept. So it basically can be classified into three categories. The first one is so-called weak AI, or also called the narrow AI. So for this AI, you can this machine can only do a specific task, like deep blue. It can only play the chess, and also like everyone knows the AlphaGo. It plays Go. It defeated Sodo Li and Ke Jie. The second category is a so-called strong AI. For this AI, it has like a consciousness and it has minds, feelings. It as a human level. That means this machine can do a lot of things with a single machine. There's also the third category is super strong AI. I think this at the current stage is like scientific fictions. Okay, it's all at the theoretical level. There are three key factors for the current wave of artificial intelligence. So as you know, this big data. So now we have the data size is getting larger and larger. Also, we have some new algorithm. The particular new algorithm I will talk about today is a so-called generative adversarial network. It's in brief, it's GAN. And we recently carried out an experiment on quantum adversarial network. The third factor is hardware. So now our computer runs faster and faster. There's some also some heroes in this so-called machine learning field, like Jeffrey Yang Chun and Yosha Benesher. As you know, they three shared the Turing Awards for last year. In particular, I will talk about these, the so-called GAN introduced by Goldflow and his co-authors in 2014. So there's also as you may know, there's also a so-called Moore's law in machine learning. So basically, this law says that for every 2.4 years, the size of the neural network will be doubled. Okay. So in the morning, we learned this Carroll's law, right? Okay. So so this basically gives us that. So now we already at the level you can see as almost a 10 to the 7th or 10 to the 8th. So that means after like several years or a little bit more, then we will basically approach the limit of the classical computer, right? The storage. So if you want to use a classical computer to do this machine learning, at least you need to be able to store this neural network, right? At least. So then this limited the capacity of this classical computer in doing machine learning stuff, okay? So that's one reason why we needed to develop a quantum computer, okay, from this perspective. Moreover, if you look at the data size, so this error is called a big data error, right? So the data size, you can see, is getting larger and larger, right? Currently, we are almost at 10 to the 9th. Okay, if this data size getting even larger, then we need more time to do the training, right? So this also, that means we need more time to do the training, so we need also to develop a quantum computer to speed up these machine learnings. So this that's basically why we are developing a quantum computer from this machine learning perspective. So you know, nowadays we are using more and more quantum devices. So in the future, there may be the so-called quantum big data error is already, I think, in my opinion, is already at the horizon. So then one question which is very important is that how can we extract useful information from this so-called quantum big data? Okay. So in summary, that basically this is a so-called very interdisciplinary new emergent field at quantum artificial intelligence. So then what is quantum artificial intelligence? I think this concept of this is still evolving, right? It's not settled down yet. So we can look at this from two dimensions. One is from the algorithm, the other is from the type of data. So if either one of these is from quantum, then basically we call it quantum artificial intelligence. So it is a very broad concept, okay? So even now, even sometimes, even people will also call this CC with classical data, classical algorithm. Sometimes we also call it quantum artificial intelligence because there are already some work showing that you can, there are some even classical algorithm that are inspired by this quantum algorithm. So in some sense, this quantum algorithm also inspired some algorithm for classical things. So this, some people also call this also included in this quantum artificial intelligence, okay? So basically this is a very interdisciplinary field. So it contains quantum information and the computation direction. This condensed matter, AMO physics, et cetera. And of course, also statistical physics, et cetera. And also machine learning and artificial intelligence. Okay, that's the basic introduction of the background of my talk. So here's my outline for the rest of my talk. So basically, as I mentioned, there are two aspects. One is we can use quantum to enhance machine learning. The other aspect is we can use machine learning as a tool to solve some very complicated quantum many-body problems. Okay. So I will briefly mention this HHR algorithm and the GAN, QGM, this recent QGM model. I will spend a little bit more time on this our recent experiment on quantum generative adversary network. On the other side, I will spend a little bit more time on this so-called machine learning topological phases. So first, let's go to the quantum enhanced machine learning aspect. So as you may already know that these three gentlemen introduced the so-called HHL algorithm. So basically this algorithm, the aim is to solve some linear equations, AX equal to B. We want to solve this equation to get X. So these three gentlemen introduced this HHL algorithm and they showed that compared to the classical one, you have an exponential speed up in so for instance, this the complexity of this for the quantum HHR algorithm, the complexity, time complexity is log 2 log n squared. And the classical one for the best current algorithm is n times log n. So you can have an exponential speed up. Of course, there are some caveats of this algorithm. The first one is that, as you may notice, that here, you first, in order to use this algorithm, you first need to transfer this classical data to quantum states, right? So then you need a so-called quantum random access memory, QRAM, to transfer the data. Also, here, this A, the matrix A, will be well-conditioned. So well-conditioned means the largest eigenvalue divided by the smallest eigenvalue is small, okay? Also, The final state you get is encoded in the quantum state x. You need to do a measurement to get the real x. Okay. So more recently, the Duan Ruming's group in Tsinghua University, they introduced another machine learning model, the so-called quantum generative model. So as you may know, in machine learning, there are basically two models, right? One is called the discriminative model. The other is called the generative model. So for the discriminative model, the basic idea is that I give you a lot of images about of cats and dogs, and I ask you which one is cat, which one is dog, right? This is a discriminative model. For generative model is another way. So I give you a lot of images of cat, then I ask you to generate another new image of cat. So this is a generative model. So the underlying math of generative model is basically you need to learn underlying probability distribution of these images of a cat, right? So all this probability distribution can, most of them can be reduced to the so-called the factor graph model. So then, you know, in quantum mechanics, there is a counterpart of this factor graph. Of for each graph, you can define a quantum graph state, right? So then you act on some local operators on this quantum graph state. And in real quantums, you run the, some quantum algorithm to arrive at this final state of this Q, act on this. So the parameters are encoded in these local operators, M1, M2, M3, M4 here. And then you do you begin with some initial state with like a graph state G, and then you run a quantum algorithm to get some to arrive at some final state Q. And then you measure this final state to get some, the desired probability distribution. After this was done, then the training process was done. So for this QGM model, so basically they in their paper, they proved that so they have like three important advantages. The first one is that they basically proved that they have exponential representation power. That means for some of the distribution, if you use a classical factor graph to represent this distribution, you need exponentially many more classical parameters. However, for this quantum case, you only need a polynomial number of parameters. Okay. The second advantage is you have an exponential speed up. That means in the training process, for some instance, you only need a polynomial time. But for the classical counterpart, you need an exponentially long time. Okay. The third advantage is you have exponential interference. That means after the training was done, you need to generate new images, right? New data. So in this process, they also showed that for some of the instance, the quantum algorithm has an exponential advantage over its classical counterpart. So this is very cool. So however, at this stage, this model is also has a disadvantage. The disadvantage is that this model is highly fine-tuned. So that means it is really just at this stage is a theoretical model. We don't know whether it is robust to noise, to experimental imperfections. Also, in order to carry out this experimental demonstration of this algorithm, we need a very, if you want to show the quantum advantage, at least you may have need to, at least you may need to have 100 qubit around something, around 100 qubit. So that's the limit at the current stage. So more recently, it's just a rough estimation. It's not an exact number. So we basically, we think about how to, for instance, to generate some handwriting digitals, use the QGM model. So then you need at the most, like at least like around 10 by 10 pixels. Yes, this is just a rough estimation, yeah, not a regular one. Yeah, more recently we carried out an experiment on this so-called quantum generative adversary network. So what is a generative adversarial network? So let's look at first the classical example. So for this GAN, it has two networks. One is called the discriminator, the other is called the generator. So we training this network by using an adversary procedure. So it runs like this. At the beginning, we first train this discriminator such that this discriminator will differentiate the images either from this generator or from this training set with the largest probability. After the discriminator was trained, and then we train this generator to fool this discriminator. Then we repeat this step again and again. So at the end of the day, it will approach a Nash equilibrium state. That means at that stage, the generator will generate the image almost indifferentiable with this data from the training set. Then that means this generator basically learns the underlying distribution of this training data. Okay? So for the quantum case, there are several wonderful theoretical work by those people. So for the quantum case, we just replace all these classical elements with a quantum case, with quantum counterparts. For instance, the training data is just some quantum data, means some quantum states. Okay? And the generator is just some quantum device. It can be like quantum circuits or some other quantum devices. Okay? And the discriminator can also be some like a quantum circuit or quantum artificial neural networks. Here, for our experiment, the discriminator is just a quantum measurement device. Okay? So then our aim is to, for instance, the quantum data is represented by some quantum state, sigma. And then our aim is to train this quantum GAN in order for this generator to generate some quantum state that as close as possible to this sigma. Okay? So that's we update. So there are, as you know, this measurement device, we encode, we have some parameters. This is just a projection measurement. So you can tune the angles, right? So we update these angles, the parameters of this both discriminator and the generator, so that this generator will generate quantum data similar to this quantum data. So this our experimental setup. We use a superconductor circuit to do this experiment. This is a, I don't want to go to the detail due to the time limitation. So if you are interested, you can look at our paper. So the important thing is here, let's look at this light blue line of this. So the x-axis is just the number of the parameter update counts. That means how many adversary steps have you done. Okay. So as you can see here, as you increase this number, then the fidelity basically between this sigma and this rho becomes closer and closer to the identity one. That means you see after around about 200 steps, then the fidelity is almost 99.1%. So that means the generator, the state generated by the generator is almost identical to this data sets from the data sigma. Okay. Yeah, this is just one qubit. Yeah, that's a good comments. Yeah. So the hope is that in the future we can do larger system size. This experiment is just the demonstration of principle. So in the future we hope to scale up this experiment to show maybe quantum supremacy. But we still have a long way to go. Okay. Okay, so that's one thing. So we can use quantum devices to speed up machine learning tasks. On the other hand, we can use machine learning as a tool to do quantum physics, as Giuseppe has already talked about in the morning. So we can use machine learning to solve many challenging quantum many-body problems. Here, I will also talk about this. So the first thing is that we can use some of the machine learning concepts and the tools for instance, first, we can use artificial neural networks to represent the quantum states. So this is a beautiful paper by Caro and Troyer in 2016. So basically, they introduced the RBM restricted Boltzmann machine representation of quantum states. So it's, I think Jesse has already talked about this. So in their original paper, they showed that they can use this representation to like solve the ground state of this like IC model in the Heisenberg model. And you can also use this to study the dynamics of the systems. Okay? In our previous works, basically we also showed that we can use RVM to represent the topological state, such as this symmetry protected topological states, and also those topological states with the intrinsic topological order, like this toroid code model. Moreover, we also proved an entanglement area law for all these short-range artificial, quantum artificial states, okay, neural network states. Moreover, we can have some quantum states with volume law entanglement, but all these states also have a very have an exact RVM representation. And also this representation is efficient, very efficient, okay? We also introduced this RVM approach to detect many-body Bayer Langlois qualities. So here, basically, we use a reinforcement learning scheme. We began with some random RVM states, and then we train this RVM states in order to get a lower and the lower quantum expectation value, okay, of the Bayer operator. So in our paper, we studied one example of this all-to-all interactions with random couplings. So I think for this model, it is very challenging to use traditional methods like DMRG or Monte Carlo to solve this problem. So kind of this is a smaller killer app of this machine learning tools, okay, in the quantum regime, okay? Also, there's machine learning physics of matter, as Roger and John has introduced in 2016 also. And there are also, this is a supervised learning approach, and also there are unsupervised learning approach. There are many more references that I cannot list here. More recently, we did a machine learning task on this so-called machine learning non-ergodic metal. So this is a controversial issue, so whether a non-ergodic metal exists or not in this quantum many-body localization field. So we considered a generalized Arbery-Andre model, the so-called GAA model. So the Hamiltonian is written down here. So then we use machine learning. We use a feed-forward neural network. The input data is an entanglement spectrum. We input the entanglement spectrum to this neural network and ask whether this, there are three different phases or just two phases or four phases. Okay, we use a confusion scheme. Anyway, this, I don't want to go into the detail, but the take-home message is that with very high confidence, we conclude that there indeed exists a non-ergodic metal phase. But I want to note here that we are still limited to a finite size effect. So the largest size we can get is 30, L equal to 30. So it's still quite small. Okay. So there, I think in the future, we if we can scale up the system size, it would be very cool. Okay. So the last thing I want to talk about is machine learning topological phases. So the essential idea is that we can use, as you know, in classical machine learning, you can use neural network to identify whether it is a dog or a cat, right? So here, we can also use this same thing to identify whether this experiment data has a topological order or not, okay? So here, we consider a 3D chiral topological model. So it's written down here. The topological index is kind of like a Chen Simons term, okay, showing here. So one particular thing I want to mention for this model is that it has an exactly flat band in the middle of this model. And this flat band is protected by this chiral symmetry, okay, this fly band is exact. So if we can introduce interaction to this fly band, then there, maybe some interesting physics will happen, okay? We carried out a solid state quantum experiment to simulate first, to simulate this Hamiltonian, we use a NV center. We use the adiabatic passage method to simulate the Hamiltonian in the momentum space. And then we measure this in the momentum space. We measure basically the spin texture of this model. We began with some initial states. That means we have some initial momentum. And then we adiabatically ramp these NV centers to the final state with the final momentum. Okay? And then we measure the final states. So this gives us basically gives us a spin texture. Okay. So and then after we obtain this data, then we use a convolutional neural network to try to identify this network. So we train this network with numerically simulated data. Okay, and then we input this experimental data to this neural network to ask whether it is topological or not. Okay. So this is some benchmark result, okay? As you can see, the accuracy will increase as the epoch goes larger and larger, okay? So this is our experiment data, okay? So the result. So one thing I want to emphasize, to stress is that compared to conventional method, so we only, for instance, we only need like 5% data will give us more than 80% accuracy. That was, I think, was very impressive. So in our experiment, this will reduce the experimental effort greatly because for each momentum space, we need to do the experiment again and again. So if we can only need 5% data, then this will reduce the experimental effort greatly. Okay. So I'm running out of time. So basically, we can also use this to study the phase transitions. Here's a brief summary. One last thing, I want to make an advertisement. So there are some open positions in my group. So each year, I will hire one or two PhDs and one or two postdocs. So if you are interested, please ask me, okay? Contact me, okay? This is my final stage. So I hope you can join us to explore the romantic journey of this machine learning meet quantum physics. Okay, with this, I would like to thank you for your attention. Thank you.
Some questions?
Yeah.
I take this one because still playing some cricket.
That's really.
So,
yeah, sure.
I want to go back to the point where you said you're discriminating.
Oh, sure. Yeah. This one, right? The QGM, QGAN.
Yeah, you just have two quantum states, and then you said you're performing a projective measurement?
Yeah, this one, right?
So how do you expect this to scale with the number of qubits? I'm thinking more along the lines of quantum state
exactly,
discrimination,
yeah.
And then
great.
Like if this scales better than tomography, we might as well.
Yeah. That's really a fantastic question, yeah. So yeah, in the future, I think this is not this, we will meet this problem if we scale up the system size. But in the literature, there is a large literature of this so-called quantum state discriminative, right? So that means we may use some other method, maybe not a quantum measurement. We may use some quantum artificial neural network or some other neural network to do this discriminator, to serve as a discriminator, yeah. But eventually, I think this, I mean, maybe we, for some very special case, we may have this problem. But in general, I think this will work out, yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
So yeah, I was also interested in the QGAN.
Yeah.
And so the quantum data you referred to said this would be some neural network representation of a quantum state or some other variational wave function, is that the idea?
Yeah, you mean for the generator, right?
The generator.
Yes,
sorry. The training, the original data, sigma, you call it.
Oh, the original data. The original data can be coming from some some like other devices, right? We can regard this as just as a black box. It has just has some quantum state, either from somewhere else. Yeah.
And then the follow-up question is, I can see why one might want to make fake videos, but what would you get with fake quantum state?
You mean fake quantum state? Sorry, I didn't.
Well, I guess I don't understand what is the so the idea is you're training the point is to train the discriminator to
differentiate whether this quantum state is from this quantum data or from this generator. So at each step, this discriminator will receive a quantum state. Then this discriminator will do the measurement. Then it will give predictions whether this is from the real quantum data, we call it true data, or whether it's coming from this generator, we call it.
But you already know.
Oh, you mean what do we do after we train?
Right, you already know that the training, the real data is real and that the fake data is
yeah,
fake.
Yeah.
Right, in the classical example, you can make a convincing fake and that's useful.
Yeah.
Or something. But what's the idea?
Oh, you mean after the training, right?
After you've trained, what do you use it for?
After the training, then you can generate a quantum state that are similar to this quantum data. Imagine a scenario that you have a very complicated experiment. You don't know the internal structure of this experiment, but you want to generate some quantum state that can similar to this state generated by this very complex experiment. You can imagine such a scenario, yeah.